If she is confirmed by the Senate, what impact would President Biden's Supreme Court nominee have? We're going to talk about that now. I want to introduce you to Tony Perkins. He is president of the Family Research Council. You've been there almost 20 years now. That's hard to believe.
Coming up on 20 years, yeah.
It's unbelievable, yeah. 2003, I think.
2003,
yeah. You do good work. But I also want to point out, he does a nationally syndicated radio show called Washington Watch, which is worth a listen.
Which First Liberty appears on quite frequently. Because of the great work you guys do in defending religious freedom.
You just had our attorney Mike Berry on it here.
I did, talking about the Navy SEAL case. Obviously, we, General Boykin on our team, we're very interested in what happens in the military, because the military is kind of is usually at the tip of the spear of what's happening culturally for the left. They like to use the military as this laboratory of social experimentation, treating our men and women in uniform as lab rats. And so we're very much in tune to that and so grateful for the work you guys do.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that here in just a moment. I want to get your thoughts on that. But first, I want to talk to you about Ketanji Brown Jackson. Joe Biden nominated her to the Supreme Court. First, just your first impressions about her.
No surprise from the standpoint of one of the most pro-abortion, radically driven presidents. I mean, you know, back in the campaign, people were saying, well, he's the moderate in the bunch.
Yeah.
If you look at what he's, from day one, opening the spigot on government funding of abortion abroad, pushing it here in our country, but also the radical LGBTQ agenda, which at every turn, I mean, we have the world imploding right now, and what's he focused on? He's focused on state laws like in Florida that prohibit the indoctrination of children in kindergarten through third grade. The President of the United States taking his time to go after Florida for a bill like that. So, all that to say, she is reflective of his values. Now, when you look at the makeup of the court, she's replacing a liberal.
Right.
So it's not going to change the balance of the court.
Let's talk about, if I can interrupt just a second, just to help people understand. Well, yeah, I'll jump right in. For people who don't follow the court closely, there are six who are generally considered to be more on the conservative side, meaning they take
most of the time.
I mean, generally, we can only talk about it in that sense. But when we say conservative, it really means the sense that they're looking to the Constitution as their guide.
That's an extremely important point, and I know that's one that First Liberty drives repeatedly, because we say conservative, because conservative generally means we respect the Constitution and we want to see the Constitution, which is the agreement by which we are governed, upheld.
Right.
And so when we talk about conservatives, we're talking about constitutionalists, originalists, that see the Constitution as a static document. It was written to mean what it says, and it says what it means. It's not a living, breathing document that can change, or that there are things hidden in the shadows or in between the periods of the Constitution that they can create new rights, which is what the left does consistently.
And it includes a system to modify the Constitution if we decide to, and that's the amendment process, which has been done over the years. But the liberal side of the court takes a different point of view, and they see their job as reinterpreting the Constitution for the modern times.
Or amending it. In effect, amending the Constitution, as opposed to going through the constitutional process of amending it.
So she's replacing Stephen Breyer, who's one of the three who would be considered on that more liberal side of things. But as we look at those three, they're not all the same.
Right.
I mean, they're on a spectrum, and they each have a different way of approaching things. Breyer, where would you put him among the three?
Actually, I would probably put him toward the center of the left. I mean, I think he's, never had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
I did testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee when Kagan was nominated. I'd studied her record quite extensively.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a classic liberal. We're now seeing leftist. That's where the Democratic Party is moving, from liberalism to leftist, to where they silence debate, and that's very concerning. So I don't think you're not gonna shift the balance of the court, but from an ideological voice, I do think that this is going to cause the court to move to the left.
Yeah. Now, I'm seeing, for those who are really on the inside of this thing, there's discussion going on right now in D.C., which is, of course, where you're based, about something known as Senate Rule 26. And one party so far has been using that some to stall some of his nominees, and there's discussion that, well, that's possible with the Supreme Court nominee. When you hear about that, first describe what it is, what it does, and then whether that might actually happen.
Well, it allows in the committee process to kind of basically, layman's term, drag your feet to draw this process out. You know, we've got an election just around the corner, some of the, you know, the trend lines appear good for Republicans. So that actually factors into whether or not they'll utilize something like this. And, yeah. And I can, without mentioning names, I've had a number of conversations with senators and others. And you look back on the two previous Republican nominations that are the confirmations, the Democrats paid a price for some of the, I don't want to say stalling tactics, but the attacks, and they paid a price at the polls. And so there is a political factor. So let me just give you kind of the thinking that I'm picking up on. This is not universal. There are some that want to fight with every tool that we have, which I tend to move in that direction. Others are looking at this more pragmatically from a political perspective. You're not going to change the balance of the court by stopping this. There's going to be a liberal nominated.
Right.
Would it be marginally better if you stop this one? Maybe, maybe not. But if you're seen as doing the same things that the Democrats did in attacking or being unrealistic or appearing not to want to work with the president, will Republicans suffer at the polls in the midterm election? So I think the midterm election is the overarching issue going into this confirmation process.
And we've already seen this whole process basically be blown up in the sense that it used to take more than a simple majority to bring a nominee to the floor.
Extremely good point. You're not going to stop it with the current makeup of the Senate. They have the votes to pass it once it gets to the Senate floor.
So if they can get 50 plus one, which is the vice president.
Which I don't think you're going to have a Democrat that's going to vote against her. Now, you know, stranger things have happened, but that'd be pretty strange.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of when, not if. And so should you drag it out and run the risk of being seen as obstructionist, paying a price at the polls, or you just say, look, this is why we have elections, this is the consequence, and the president has the votes, and you let it go forward.
All interesting comments. I want to change direction here just for a second. I know you served as a Marine along the way. Thank you for your service. We've got a case right now involving 35 Navy SEALs. They have asked for a religious accommodation to the military vaccine mandate. District Court gave us an injunction. They haven't made a final decision, but they said you can't punish them in the meantime while this is being heard. The government appeals that up to the appeals court. The appeals court says you can't punish them while this is being heard. Now it's going to the Supreme Court, which is what you and Mike Berry were talking about. When you look at this whole thing as someone who's been in the military and served, what do you think about it? What runs through your head?
Well, many things run through my head. Anger. Amazement, disillusionment, because look, we're talking about the elite of the elite. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. We pride ourselves in what our mission was, but the Navy SEALs are the best of the best. And these, at a time that we're facing right now worldwide, you see what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. The left likes to play games with the military. But I think part of what's unfolding in the Middle East or in Ukraine is the result of us playing games with our military. You know, conservatives understand that a strong military is the best defense against not having to use the military. Where the left has it, they despise the military and they want to see it go away, thinking that that will bring peace. Well, our military's mission is to fight and to win wars. And on its face, this thing is absurd because we're now beyond the whole COVID thing. We realize the vaccine is marginally effective. And we're talking about, you know, I'm in pretty good shape, all right?
Yeah.
But I'm 58 years old. My days of being at peak performance back when I was in the Marine Corps are a few years behind me. But I've had COVID. I've had two versions of it. I'm in good shape. I moved on. I have natural immunity. We're talking about guys who are in excellent shape, who are in the least risk category. In fact, if they get it, the new studies suggest that they have better natural immunity, is more elastic, protecting against future variants. So if you're really concerned about keeping men on the field of battle, you would want them in the best posture, and it's not forcing them to get a vaccine or get out.
That's a really good point.
This is absurd. This is totally absurd. Every American should be outraged at what is happening to these American warriors.
How can people speak into that process? Is there anything they can do?
Well, I think continuing to communicate to Congress. I mean, the fact that the Biden administration is challenging the appellate court, you know, victory that First Liberty gained for these warriors, saying, look, leave them alone until this case is settled. The fact that the Biden administration is appealing that is revealing, extremely revealing. So, yes, speak to your members of Congress, to your senators, but support First Liberty and the defense that they're giving to these men. This is so important that we preserve the integrity of our military, because, again, with what's happening in Europe right now, in Eastern Europe, it shows us, despite what the president says, that he wants to reimagine what the future looks like for our military, we need a strong military.
Very well put. I want to give you a moment before we let you go to tell us about the work of Family Research Council. What have you been up to lately? What's it all about?
Well, we work in our nation's capital, as you pointed out, to shape public policy from a biblical perspective, and that runs the gamut. You know, we speak to military policy, we speak to tax policy, we speak to the issue of human sexuality, the life issue, anything that affects the family, we speak to those issues right there in our nation's capital. Of course, as you mentioned, we have each day, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Washington Watch, where we have the newsmakers on, and we're talking firsthand about the issues that are taking place so people know what's happening.
Outstanding. Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
No, just that we all have our place on the wall. And I do want to encourage your viewers and listeners to be involved. Wherever you are, use what you have to make a difference. If anything we've learned in the last few weeks, so inspiring to see what the truckers did in Canada and then the United States. I mean, whoever thought that the truckers of America would be at the tip of the spear in defending freedom, but they took what they had and they used it to preserve something that's precious for all of us. So wherever you are, with whatever you have, do what you can do.
Tony, really good to see you again. Always good talking to you.
Great to see you as well. Thanks.
And we will have more from NRB 2022 here in Nashville on First Liberty Live.